Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Analyst wants what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Mops and Joe. Planned a party to go hell. Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Doing wonderful, Marco. How about yourself? Here you've been feeling a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, I got a little bit of flu.
You know, that little bug got a hold of everybody now and then. And the summer ones, they're the worst, I think.
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there.
That's my intention.
Hey, let me tell you who we got for guests, so you know. I'm sorry, I didn't update you before the show. We got Ron on, James, Greg, waiting for Kelly to dial in, and Ken to dial in. We got Rocky,
wow.
And Leo hasn't. Oh yeah, Leo did dial in. He's here. He's in.
All the regular. Outstanding. Outstanding. You know, this is a Bigfoot Live Radio where we talk Bigfoot every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. East, Pacific Standard, and 10 p.m. Eastern. We talk tracking, we talk looking, we talk listening, we talk everything Bigfoot. So let's get into our show. Here we got Greg. Is that the Greg Yost? The bearded one himself is back with us?
He is. Would you want to put Greg on first, or you want to put Ron on?
I want to talk to Greg first.
Okay. Here, let me, I got to I got to look up my number here. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Greg, you are on now, I think. Yeah, here I go. You're on, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, buddy. Good hearing from you.
Hey, how you doing, Carmen? What's up, buddy?
Well, everything's doing real well. Just got back here a couple days ago. Spent the last 6 weeks out looking for the creature, and, you know, I'm back. I'm rested. I'm trying to get back into the groove and get back into the ideas of what's happening out there. You tell me, buddy, what's been going on? Have you been out lately? Have you seen anything, heard anything?
Well, yeah, we had a pretty good camp out, man, about 3 weeks ago. I had a few people come up. Arla Collette Williams, she came up. Had a friend of his come down from Ohio, and had a couple from Corden they came in. There was about nine of us. And they brought a bunch of drums and sage and stuff like that. And there was a family that come up from down in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. It was a pretty good group, man. We saged the area, man, started drumming. The guy from Elizabethtown, he took his wife and his kids about 100 feet behind camp to show my gifting stump. And they came back, and the 10-year-old boy, his son, he was real excited. And he told me he'd seen one back there. And he was amazed. And his dad, Parker, he verified it. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, we've seen it. And there's a couple more things that happened back there. They're kind of weird. I really don't want to get into right now. But we started drumming. Started getting dark by then. And we started drumming, and Arla was singing. And we had a couple of ladies sitting there, and they're like, look, I shine. And they were standing right behind my tent. There's about four of them. That's what I seen. I think some more, just their eyes shine, nothing more, nothing less. And as the night went on, somebody, hey, there's one. I mean, there was a lot of sightings that night. It was one of the most amazing nights I ever had. And I have never done, this sit-in drumming kind of stuff. It's kind of like a spiritual Native American. You've seen it, but I have never been involved in it. And it really worked pretty good, man. I mean, a lot of good positive energy out there in that camp, and it just sucked them in there like a magnet. But the weirdest thing, that happened to me personally that night, everybody stayed up late. It was after 2 o'clock in the morning and everybody started crashing. I was in my tent alone, and there was a couple tents to the right of me. There wasn't none to the left. So I was almost asleep, and I thought I heard footsteps right outside my tent. So I kind of awoken a little, and out of the blue, man, believe it or not, he called my name out. It was like, Greg.
Really?
It's the first time it ever happened. I mean, I heard this happening before, but never to me. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm pretty close to him, but I didn't think I was this close. So I immediately sat up, and I'm like, man, am I hearing things? I mean, what the hell, man? I mean, it was too clear, and I don't think I was hearing things. So I'm sitting there in a total, pitch dark tent, trying to figure out what just happened. And then it did it again. And it sounded like it was right behind me, like a foot behind me, behind the canvas of the tent. And I heard it loud and clear that time. So I was like, oh, my God, man, this is unbelievable. So I didn't answer. I didn't say what. I didn't say who are you. I knew exactly what it was. But I wasn't scared. Yeah, matter of fact, I laid back down and, you know, knowing this thing was right on the other side of the canvas. So, yeah, I just shook it off, you know. I mean, a lot of stuff happens to me, you know. I mean, I just chalk another one up. So I woke up in the morning, and, you know, and everybody's getting ready for breakfast and everything. And the guy next to me, about 10 feet away in his tent, he goes, "Hey, did you have a problem last night?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't have no problem." "Well, why you ask?" And he goes, "Well, I thought I heard you say, get out." And then you said it again, "Get out." And I'm like, "No, I didn't say that." I go, "What I heard was Greg." And he sat there for a minute. He's like, okay, it's coming to sense. You know, I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew it started with a G, and I assumed it was you saying, "Get out." He goes, "I was getting ready to run over to your tent, man, and see if you was having problems or something in there."
Right.
And I'm like, "Well, but you heard it." He goes, "Yes, I heard it twice." And he goes, "About 3 o'clock in the morning, right?" And I go, "Yeah, it was about a half an hour after everybody turned in." So, I mean, another unexplained thing. You know, I mean, I know these things are smart, man, but. Yeah, now, you know, they know my name. So it really kind of freaked me out, I know.
So what do you think attributes to that? Was it the drumming and the sage or the energy that you guys were pitching out there that night? Tell me, Greg. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure people are going, "Oh, that's a little far-fetched and everything." But, you know, explain to them. They don't know. They're clueless.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Carmen. All aspects of that helped. You know, the drumming, the sage, you know, the sage purified the area, got rid of the bad negative energy, you know, any bad negative, you know, entities or whatever could be around, you know, and it just harnessed positive energy, and everybody was in a great move, everybody was happy, and, you know, we had four or five children there. A lot of ladies. I mean, actually, this is the first camping trip. There was more ladies there than men. And I think it had a big part to do with it. And plus, I already got a really good connection with, you know, what I call the forest people, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever people want to call them. I mean, I've had a lot of encounters. I've had a lot of sightings. And so, I mean, I know that they know who I am to begin with. And this was just like icing on the cake, you know, bringing all this together. You know, I mean, me there, Arla, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, into this kind of, you know, Bigfooting technique. You know, I mean, you know, like I told you before, I don't go through the woods knocking on trees and whooping. I mean, all I got to do is just sit there at the campsite, man, and they come. Yeah, you know, and I gift them. I mean, we had gifts out there for them, and everything was gone. And I mean, you know, you heard of the perfect storm. Well, this was the perfect Bigfoot storm. I mean, everything just fell together that night. I mean, multiple sightings. You know, I took them for a hike right at dusk, and there was this one tree that looks like they built a log fence around it. You know, like they don't want nobody around this tree. It's a big, beautiful evergreen, and I call it the sacred tree. And this one lady took a couple of snapshots of it. And when we got back to camp, lo and behold, there's not one set, but two sets of eyes behind one log, you know, glowing. I don't know if they were putting off their own eye shine or the reflection. But they were just peeking right over the backside of the log back behind the big pine tree. And, I mean, a really good shot. I mean, you really couldn't see much other than the white eyes. They were white. But, I mean, there wasn't no animal or anything back there that we could see. And, you know, and they had the proper spacing of a Bigfoot space between his eyes. And so yeah, I mean, out of all the people there, Yeah, I think almost everybody had their own experience or sighting encounter. That Saturday morning, I took Bob and Austin, the guys from Ohio, I took them for a short walk, and Austin didn't get to, he got there late and he didn't get to see, I call it the superstructure. I mean, it's the biggest structure I've ever seen, and this ain't far from the sacred pine tree. So I took them back there. It was a couple-mile hike. And on the way back, I glanced over to the right, and about 200 feet, straight shot down into the forest, I see one peeking around a tree. So I go, okay, guys, I go, stop. I go, slowly turn, look to the right. About 200 feet down, there's a big black spot. I go, can you see it? And both of them, yeah. I go, okay, that's a Bigfoot. And both of them zoomed in on it, with their eyes, they seen what I was talking about. And Austin took two steps. He goes, well, I'm going to go see. I'm like, no, before I could say anything, he took two steps, and everybody seen the head go back behind a tree. And I go, no, dude, you never walk towards them, man. You take what they give you. And when we called him the intern, he just graduated college. He's a real smart boy, but he's got a lot to learn when it comes to the Bigfoot. I thought it was pretty funny, though. I didn't get on him or anything. I just said, look, man, when it comes to these creatures, you'll never walk towards them, man. You're going to blow it. I go, we gotta have this thing come up closer, if you didn't done that. Apparently he was back there flanking us, following us, and he could have got closer. We could have got a better view of him. But, he made that mistake, man. Like I teach everybody, never walk towards them. Take what they give you. Nothing more, nothing less. So us three, the guy, and his son, two or three women, I'd say almost seven, eight of us out of the nine had a vigil that weekend. So it don't get no better than that.
Outstanding. That's awesome. So if you had to give anybody any advice out there, Greg, and it was the top three things, what would you give them if they're Bigfoot hunting?
Well, what kind of advice I would give them to have success?
Yes.
Okay, well, number one, like I told you when I first met you, it's all about heart with me. I mean, you got to be a good-hearted person with good intentions, and that's the first thing you got, that's the quality you got to possess. And that will lead to greater things down the road, as I find out. And the second thing I would do is build a trusting relationship with them. And I have done this by gifting them food, like I was telling you about. Now I got a gifting stump, and they know exactly where their food's going to be. And you hear people, saying you shouldn't feed them, and then you stop feeding. Well, it's not feeding them. I give them a treat, once or twice a month. So it's far from feeding them. But it's giving them stuff they can't get. A glazed donut, a honey bun, a breakfast bar, a granola bar, bananas, apples, stuff that they really love. I've even lately, I have gave garlic, for fleas and ticks. I heard they really like garlic, and it's gone, and they take it. I have left, I'm leaving tobacco out now, Native American tobacco. They're taking that too. So you build up a relationship with them, and they start trusting you. You're like, hey, well, this guy's all right. He knows we're here. And he's giving us food just for us. And we know it's safe. I take a bite of it. I let them know that it ain't poison or nothing like that, and that would be the second step that I have done, and the third step is just be yourself. you know, put down your put down your video cameras and all your equipment and your recorders and your drones and your trail cams and all that stuff that seems like it never works. I wonder why. But yet I go out there with nothing, and you see the stuff that happens to me and the people I bring with me. We don't bring guns. No electronic equipment. It's all about, number one. It's all about heart. And these people, the forest people see that you're not out there. You're not out there, trying to be famous on Facebook or YouTube. You don't get a good video of one. You're not trying to get their picture. You're just out there wanting to, interact
Hollywood.
With them, and have encounters with them, and keep it simple. You see my pictures. I've got great pictures. But after a certain point of getting all that stuff, man, I figured it wasn't getting any better. So I put all that stuff down, and now the activity has increased tenfold. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I have seen. And it doesn't matter where I go. I can go to Kentucky, here in Indiana, over to Illinois, Pennsylvania. I mean, wherever I go, they come to me, man. Like your dad called me, man, the chosen one. I don't know if they have chose me. Sometimes I believe they have. For how many I see, and now they know my name. They're talking to me. That's pretty smart, man, for a dumb animal. So that's step number four. Don't call them an animal. Don't treat them like an animal, because they're not, man. They're people just like us. I think the same God who made us made them. They just look different, and they got different characteristics and qualities. But at the end of the day, and it's all said and done, they are people, and I don't know any other way to put it, but I've never heard an animal speak English.
Sure.
But if I had to tell a beginner, that would be the major things that I would focus on to if they want success. I know people who have been doing this for 20, 30 years and have never seen one. And they do the same thing. They go, they tree knock, they whoop. They do the animal characteristic techniques. And like I tell people like that, I'm like, hey, look, would you go fishing 20 years? Every Saturday, you and your buddy go out fishing, and your buddy catches 20 fish. You never catch nothing. Sooner or later, you're going to have to ask yourself, man, how come I ain't catching fish? I think I'm going to have to come up with another method. And that's what I tell people, but they elect, and they choose to do it that way. So, it's each their own, however you want to do it. But I know what works for me, and I would never go back to that kind of Bigfooting.
Right.
I'm going to stick. I found all this out myself. Back when I was doing this, I wasn't on the computer. I wasn't on the internet. I didn't know about anybody. I thought it was just me in this world we live in, and I was going to keep all this to myself. I did it 15 years. And got the pictures and everything. I never showed them to nobody, nothing. I thought this was just, happening to me. And then when I finally did get on Facebook and everything a couple years ago, I found out, there's a lot of people like me out there, like you. Like a lot of people that have pretty good success doing this. But then on the other hand, there's a lot of people that don't. Technique, that's a big thing. Do you want encounters? Do you want to see them? Or do you want to go around and hear a tree knock every now and then or hear one whoop? I mean, yeah, that's cool and everything. Yeah, I mean, it proves that they're out there. But all I'm saying, there's a lot more to it.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Greg. You know, I want to thank you for giving our audience knowledge tonight so they can actually take what you've taught them out into the woods if they feel like it and go out there and try it themselves and see if it works. Folks, remember, Bigfoot hunting, isn't that a weird word, hunting? Bigfoot,
yeah.
Bigfoot engaging is not an expert thing. It's something that's not science. We haven't figured it all out yet. And we have to take a little bit of everything that works and put it out there so everybody knows. Because guess what? Until more people see this creature, no one's going to believe us. Frankly, I don't care if they believe me or not. I'm sure you're the same way, Greg. But the people here on Bigfoot Live Radio, they come in, they listen because we're an open forum. We talk about what's happening, what's going to work, and we share. Sharing is good. You're going to find people out there that don't care about sharing what they do. But you know something? That's not going to put an end to this mystery. You agree, Greg?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, some people say, well, I got the best picture ever. Well, what good is it doing locked up in your safe? Show it.
Yeah.
You know, get it out. And yeah, exactly. There's no experts in this field. You know, there's a lot of people think they are. But just by my experience, you know, some of the big shots that go around all these Bigfoot shows and everything, I mean, I've heard these people say flat-out lies that I know are lies because I've seen it. And you know, it's like a three-ring circus, man. The same people flinging the same garbage year after year after year. And like you said, man, I don't think the people on your listening to your show, they think these guys are the experts. And they're like, well, he said that's not true and blah, blah, blah. So that's the dilemma in the Bigfoot community, man. Yeah, you know, some of the top dogs shouldn't be where they're at to begin with. For example, I ain't going to mention the man's name, but he's wrote books. He's got this. He's been on TV umpteny times. And he said at a Bigfoot show, if anybody tells you that Bigfoots produce their own eyeshine or they've seen them, they're hallucinating. And that's the biggest flat-out lie I've ever heard in my life. Because me and two witnesses, I told you and your wife this story. We've seen 15 of them, man, and their eyes were shining amber orange. And it was a rainy, dark, cold March night, man, on top of a mountain. And there wasn't no light whatsoever anywhere. And we see 15 sets of orange amber eyes. It could have been less, it might have been more, but I counted around 15. You know, there were small ones, medium sized ones, big ones, and really big ones. And it was a whole group of them. And me and my son, you met my son, and my buddy John, we all seen them. But yet, this expert, he said, if somebody tells you that, you're hallucinating. That's what gets my goat.
This is what gets my goat. Someone tells you they're an expert at Bigfooting.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We haven't captured one yet. We haven't talked to them and learned everything. So there's no way you're an expert at it. You know?
Yeah, nothing's been proved. Like I was telling you about, it's the same stuff year after year after year. It's like a broken record. No advancement on the subject, nothing. The Patty. You got Patty. Yeah, that's the best video, I guess. Some people say it's real. Some people say it's fake. But when you get down to the bottom line, nobody can really tell you, in my opinion. Like you said, unless... you know, when one gets turned up dead, killed, or on the laboratory table, you know, they're never going to be identified. And I don't think that will ever happen, so I don't think they ever will be identified.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, buddy, it's always a pleasure to listen to you and to hear what you have to teach and tell, and I'm sure everybody in the audience is saying the same thing. You know, you're welcome back on the show anytime you like. We're going to have to go to commercial. I went long with you because you always got the good stuff. And I'm going to come back with Ron on the back of the hour after commercial. Greg, thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, no problem, Carmen. I can't wait to take you out, man.
It's going to be soon, I hope.
Okay, yeah. You got my number, brother.
You got it,
thanks,
brother.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yes.
Nice being on here.
All right. Marco, let's go to commercial. Come back with Ron from Pennsylvania.
Here we go.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. And TJ, we got, besides Ron, we have James, Kelly, and Ken.
Outstanding.
And Ron is on right now.
Awesome. You know, folks, just wanted to once again thank Greg Yost. Everything in Bigfooting is not the same. Everybody's approach at bringing in the creature is going to be different. And we have the big footers out in the world that are interested in it, you know, should keep an open mind, should listen, should understand, should just feel what's happening. Because just because somebody's saying something doesn't mean it's not true. We're not there. So, once again, I want to thank Greg Yost for coming on. And we're going to move up to Pennsylvania to a gentleman that I met this afternoon. His name is Ron. And, you know, Ron has been around a little while. He's up there in, I want to say, Bradford County. Is that correct, Ron?
Yeah.
And Ron's had a few experiences himself. And, you know, why don't you kind of share that with us, Ron?
Well, first, well, Greg is right about fishing. People have a certain scent on them that fish just don't like. I can go fishing with somebody. I can catch 20 fish, so they're one, you know. So that part I agree with him. But anyway, I was up on top of Kellogg Mountain. We usually parked at the fire tower, and I'd walk back in probably about 3 miles. And it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was sitting on this rock right on the edge of a swamp where it was nice and clear when there's no mountain laurel. And I sat there and I heard a whistle. I just figured it was my brother looking for me. Got down off the rock and looking around, and I could hear something because the swamp was maybe 20 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
I walked over to the edge of the swamp, and, you know, and the mountain lord was like 12 feet tall. And next thing I know, I hear something walking on 2 feet. I spent a lot of time out in the woods, and I know what everything sounds like when it's walking, running, whatever. But this thing, whatever it was big. It sounded like somebody had cinder blocks on their feet walking. Then I started getting creeped out, and I hollered out to see if there was actually somebody in there, and it just stopped. Then I don't want, it was only maybe 20, 30 yards inside the laurel, but you only could see like maybe 4 or 5 feet in front of you. But then after it stopped, I don't know, I was carrying a 300, you know, Magnum, so pretty much, you know, I'd be down just about anything on planet Earth, but I just got so, I don't know, creeped out, or, I don't know, I guess I got a little scared, but I usually don't get scared of anything.
Right.
That's the thing.
Well, you hunt elk, right?
What's that?
Isn't that, you told me this morning you go up, you go up the mountains, you hunt your elk?
Oh, no, I was bear hunting.
Bear hunting, okay.
Yeah, okay. Up on top of Kellogg.
Right.
Well,
so
then I think
large,
it was
kind of gave you the creeps, huh?
Yeah, and I don't scare very easy, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I'm armed with a high-powered rifle, shouldn't be afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. But,
right.
I don't know, it took me 3 hours to get there, but it only took me about an hour and a half to get back to the car, you know. I stayed away from the swamp.
Yeah.
So
what makes you think it might have been Bigfoot? What gives you the inclination that it was a big, giant, hairy beast that was out there?
Because it was walking on 2 feet. It was bipedal. It was only 2 feet, you know.
Right.
Everything else makes a different sound, you know.
Right.
But this thing,
you did make,
you know,
what walks, you can hear.
Excuse me?
You had told me earlier today that most things that walk in the woods, you know what they are by the way they walk and, you know, the footprints hitting the...
Yeah, I tell what everything is, you know, by the way it walks, runs, or whatever. But this thing, sound, like I said, it sounded like a person, really big person, or somebody with cinder blocks on their feet walking through there. And
whoa.
I never heard anything like it, so then that's when I, you know, I got to... I don't know, just got scared, I guess, and turned around and pretty much ran back to the car.
Now, was that your first and only encounter, or did you have another experience?
I think it was like 2 years later, but this was like, it wasn't in the mountains, it was out in the farmlands of Brazos County. I still lived out in the country, though. One night we heard this god-awful scream just right across the road. I mean, they were so loud, you could feel the vibration in the house.
Hmm.
But then after they quit, we went out, you know, me and my wife went outside to see if we could see anything. And the neighbors down the road, they came up looking with their flashlights. And the people that lived about a half mile up the road, they came down, you know, looking. But we didn't see them. Yeah.
So,
but the following morning,
scared of falling off, come outside.
Yeah. Following morning, I stepped outside to smoke a cigarette. And I hear something. It started from the top of the hill, and it traveled about 500 yards, and less than a minute. But it seemed like every 50 yards, it would make a. It wasn't a whoop, or it more like a grunt. If you're
right.
And like I said, it moved fast, but it wasn't running because my house is pretty close to the hill. You know, I can usually hear things when they're running, making a lot of noise. But this thing wasn't making any noise. But, man, it just traveled, you know, long ways, real quick.
Outstanding. You know.
Yeah.
So, Bigfoot is obviously part of your life. And... it's something that intrigues you. Is it something that continue to go out and look for? Is it something that in Pennsylvania you're going to go for the quest and get the,
yeah,
the magic?
Yeah, well, I have a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Then, well, we were going out in the southwest corner of Powder County. And we camp out there. We'll stay out there a week. And, you know, all the while we're out there, you might see maybe one or two cars go by, or might hear one, you know. But there's nothing around there. And, well, one afternoon, my wife was down in the creek, and it sounded like a little kid yelling. It only made the one sound, and, you know, I didn't really think much of it, you know. But I started thinking, there's nobody up there, you know, because they'd have to go by us to get up to where I heard this. Did I think about what?
You know, yelling, holler at him, hey, what are you doing? You need help, or?
Oh, no, I just sit there and listen for, see if I can hear more sounds.
Right.
But, you know, later that night, I think it was probably about 11, 12, we hear, you know, something pushing over a great big tree. I don't know, maybe that was just a coincidence or what, but. Well, that's,
you
know,
or anything that, you know, any physical evidence?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay, well, it's coming, buddy. You got to keep your open mind. You got to be a good spirit, and you have to want to go out there and communicate.
You know, like, great, good, you know. You got to be a nice person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm nice to everybody, so.
Yeah, I got that from you on the phone today. Outstanding.
Yeah.
You know? You know, I want to welcome you to the big community and the Bigfoot Live radio show and our family, because every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern, we come on and we talk Bigfoot. And I want to thank
everyone
for coming on. Every Wednesday night, you can listen in, you can call in, you can do whatever you like, you can get advice, whatever you want. Every Wednesday night, my friend, that's what we're here for.
All right. Yeah.
If you like it, stay on, listen to the rest of the show. My next guest is going to be from Arkansas. We met him out there in, I think it was Jesseville, and he's got some really good story. So, Marco, let's hit a commercial, and once again, thanks, Ron, and we'll come back.
Hey,
week.
No problem.
So we'll be back with, I think it was Jesse, right, Marco?
Oh, let me put him on. Sorry. My phone started ringing here.
Okay.
Here we go. You're on,
hey, James.
James,
hey,
how
are
you, buddy?
Today?
Doing good.
Been fairly quiet this last week or so. I talked with one of my local Bigfoot searchers, and he said that they've been staying away from the areas that they usually are, you know, been tourists and stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. But they had some reports of some rocks getting thrown in an area that it real estate people don't climb up that area. It's not a tourist site. So there were some fishermen went checking their lines and had some large rocks get thrown at it.
Wow.
It was something that kind of caught his attention. He's a volunteer fireman, and it just kind of, I'd ask him if he's seen anything, you know, and that's it kind of suits in, you know, most of my experience has been while fishing. They seem to be particular if you get in one of their honey holes where they like to fish, they don't like to share.
I got it.
And that's what I kind of, there's been, you know, that's, you know, I mentioned last week about another fishing hole where something come down off the mountain and then run them off. They left their gear behind. When they come back, it was all broke to pieces. And these guys that went in on boat was fishing up in a little cove, and it's steep on both sides, that second cove from the dam, and then they were getting these huge rocks getting thrown off in the water towards
them. That must have scared them the living shit out of them.
Yeah. They got out of there, and they was, they was concerned enough that they, they made the report, which then, the Game and Fish, they're like, oh, well, we didn't handle reports of rock slides. Didn't, no way to explain.
Right.
Yeah. But,
I've got to come up with an idea here. Let me ask you a question. When you're fishing out there, I think it was like Lake Winona, is that correct?
Wachita.
Do you clean your fish there before you take them back into your car and throw the guts on the ground?
I usually don't. I usually bring them home alive if I can.
Okay. I was just wondering if the creatures are sitting around, but they see the guy out in the boat, and they know that he might leave some scraps for them, and that's why they stay there. It's just my thoughts,
I don't know. I've been – there's an area that I've been wanting to fish that – too far for me to get back home. I'd have to clean them before I did. And that might be a way to get a closer. Maybe they'd be a little friendlier if we left something behind.
That's what I'm thinking, because a lot of fishermen I know, they clean them in the field and leave the stuff right on the shoreline before they take them and put them in their cooler. So I was just curious to see if that's what you did, because...
I usually bring mine back in the ice chest, and if I do have to pack them on ice, I just pack them whole. But it might be beneficial to leave them something to chow on.
Yeah, Now, I got to give you congratulations because I heard you had your baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, beautiful baby. He's a 9 pounds, 14 ounces, dark hair. Good old boy.
Wow. There you go. He's going to be a big boy just like his daddy.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, congratulations from all of us here on Bigfoot Live Radio to you and your lovely wife. I think I was coming back and I saw a post or something from you, and I made sure I had to let you know. Besides the firemen, anything else happening up there in that Wachita area?
No, and it always kind of, when the tourists come in, it kind of ruins it for everything else.
Sure. I got you.
So we may have to go a little deeper to find them.
Right.
It seems that they don't want to be too sociable.
Yeah, that's part of looking and searching, and, the endless search to find and prove that this creature exists, It's been a lifelong... Well, not a lifelong, the last 10 years of my life since I had my first encounter. But, being able to travel across the U.S. and meet people in all the different states and to hear their stories and to, make friends, and some of them are even family, it's a great honor, for us and the crew. And, I'm glad we got to meet you. And, it's always like that out of the blue. Just pop up and here comes the questions, and then we start talking, and we find that we have a common interest, and we share in that, and it goes from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm going to try, whenever we get the baby to sleep through the night, I'm going to try to get out in the deep woods and see what I can see.
I gotcha.
Maybe have something better to report.
Well, that's why we're here. We're here just to talk Bigfoot. We can open each other's eyes, and we can learn from each other. That's how we look at it here. Buddy, I want to thank you for coming on.
I just want to say it was real interesting. I hadn't really thought much about leaving gifts for them. Has anybody else seen that to be beneficial?
We have done it before, and I leave little toys for them. I don't leave food anymore. And the toys, they take the toys, and they leave rocks or sharpened sticks in place of those toys. Now, I want to believe it was Bigfoot, because where I was at, nobody was out in the woods. They wouldn't have been,
Yeah.
And unless it's a hermit or some Boy Scout messing with me, I want to believe that it was a creature,
Yeah. And there's something.
Most people would just take it and leave. They wouldn't believe in something,
Yeah.
Oh, but like I said, people around the world do different things, and that's how we disseminate and share information here. So give it a shot. See what happens.
Sure will.
All right. Marco, let's hit a commercial, and then we'll come on back with whoever else is on. Thanks again, my friend, in Arkansas. You have a great evening.
TJ, we don't have time for a commercial. We got two more people, 10 minutes.
Okay. Good. Who do we got next?
Next, Kelly.
Kelly from Texas. My brother, how are you, buddy?
Kelly, we have Ken from Michigan.
Okay.
You're
on,
Kelly.
I'm doing fine, TJ. How's it going, my friend?
You know, it's a long haul the last 6 weeks. You know, we met a lot of great people. I didn't get a chance to get down there. I worked on getting over there to Texas and then ended up getting a call and ended up going to Arkansas. But just to fill you folks in for Kelly, he's got a 5,000-acre game preserve in the middle of Texas where he's got so much great activity. Well, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. He did. I haven't heard from him in about 6 months. But most of his on his lease, he has people that come out and hunt it for him. And, well, you tell the story there, Kelly.
Well, you know, over time, you know, we have, you know, periodically a new member, a member that's been on there a while, you know, they'll start having some strange occurrences, right? And they're always kind of shy about talking about it. And finally,
mm-hmm.
one of the older members will tell them, well, you know, you ought to talk to Kelly about it, you know, because, you know, he'll tell you what it is. We really don't want to talk about it, but he'll fill you in. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they've had stuff, you know, trees tore down by them and, you know, knocking on trees. And, you know, we experience the periodic knocks still, you know. I try to spend as much time with, but you know what? It's not about, you know, going out and trying to find him. You just be where he's at, and he'll make himself known to you. But, you know, it, like anything else, it's got to get used to you. And if you're in an area long enough, they know your smell, they know where you're at, they know where you hang out at, and if they feel comfortable enough, they'll show themselves, right? But like anything else, they can sense if you're after them. They're you're in their house. You can't go in somebody's house without them knowing you're there. So, you know, you just be patient. A lot of people, you know, they get too excited about going to chase something down. Well, you know, you just go with the flow, and next thing you know, you'll be going, damn, is that a footprint? Look at that big hand print.
You know, I'm sitting here kind of giggling to myself right now because if somebody saw one and started chasing this creature, they'd be running for a long time, getting tired real fast.
Yeah, I'm old. I can't run that fast anymore. And it may be the opposite direction. Then I run faster, most likely.
Oh, my goodness. You're absolutely correct. You know,
yeah, because, you know, they say a man runs slower to a fire than from it.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. So have you heard anything new going on down there by you?
Yeah, you know, I guess maybe a month or so ago, I was out in the, you know, I was out, you know, just working on the property, you know, just, you know, it was a nice day, and I could hear a couple knocks back across the creek, you know, and, it's the area that kind of stays quiet. Not a lot of people visit that part of the property. You know, it's got a lot of real heavy thickets, and, you know, the creek runs through it. You know, it's got water, you got fish, you got crawfish, you got hogs. So, you know, it's got its own little grocery store. It don't have to go far.
Right.
And, you know, and over,
okay.
over time, you know, you start meeting people in the area that, you know, they'll come out, you know, they'll, you know, people talk. They, you know, they find out who's seen and who hasn't and who talks about it. And some people just, you know, hey, that guy over there is crazy. We hear him talk about Bigfoot sometimes, and they're thinking to themselves, well, I've seen something too. What was that guy's name again?
Right.
So
right.
So that guy that was talking about Tyler County, what state was he in?
That would have been Tyler County. Is that in Pennsylvania or Texas?
Well, I'm in Tyler County. So there's a Tyler County, Texas. I don't know what state he said he was from, but
Pennsylvania.
Well, must be something about Tyler County then. No matter where it's at, it's got some activity in it.
Yeah. You know, it's that time of year right now where the creatures are going to start moving. I tried to get out and get ahead of them. I think they're a little slower this year. They're not coming down as fast because I'm guessing, well, you know, because of the weather. You know, a month and a half ago, there was actually still snow here where I'm at, which, you know,
in April,
snow. Are you kidding me? You know, it just was really weird. So maybe their migrational path and their internal clock is just reset, and they're going to be starting, and we're going to start getting some really big activity happening here over the next month or so.
You know, my biggest stuff usually happens from October to about March. You know,
right.
Because the weather down here is pretty pleasant in the wintertime. You know, it never really gets that cold. You know, maybe a cold day here or there, but you know, they're going to want to be where they, you know, they got pleasant weather. You know, they don't want to have to be living in the harsh environment all the time, even though they're kind of hairy. But, you know, who likes to wear a big coat all the time, right?
I agree.
But, you know. They start moving north once it starts getting hot here, and usually in the summer months, you know, you rarely hear anything. You know, during the summer, I spend a lot of time in the woods. You know, we do a lot of hog hunting, and you know, we don't hear as much at night. You know, but it's mainly those, you know, 4 or 5 months there when the weather's, you know, a lot cooler that we get our most activity.
Sure, and down by you, it's it's nice down there still those time of month, you know.
Sometimes you're wearing shorts in January, so there's nothing wrong with that. I never really liked the snow myself.
Right. You know, Kelly, we're cutting here on time. I want to say thanks for coming on, and, you know, hopefully I'm here in the next 3 or 4 weeks when I get back on the road. I'll be heading towards Texas, and maybe we'll get out there and we'll try to figure something out going down that area.
Yeah, well, you know, come down when you get a chance. We'll sit around the fire and have a Michelob Ultra.
Sounds good to me, brother.
All right. See you later, Marco.
Marco and our next guest for the next 2 minutes.
Hello?
Hey, Ken.
Hello? Yeah.
Ken. How are you, buddy? We got about a minute and a half. I apologize, everybody's went long, but you know, great story.
Oh, I like listening, man. And that guy, what was his name? Fred, the super intelligent guy. That guy was
Greg?
A genius. I think so. He was like super genius. He said he was like cool with Bigfoot and stuff, and I was like, damn, that's kind of like what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? I was like. He's super intelligent. Not that, you know, I think everybody's intelligent on your show. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that one guy, he kind of stuck out like a diamond in the rough, you know, and he was super intelligent. And I was like, me and my wife were like sitting here going, you know, you just don't come across people like that too often, you know. So he was pretty interesting guy to listen to. I really liked,
awesome.
Enjoyed listening to him. Yeah. And then, I've been doing some super training, man. I'm trying to get stronger than I was before Bigfoot hit me like a Mack truck. And we had one of our friends come over. He's used to be a Super Bowl NFL player. He played for the Colts, and he caught a Super Bowl touchdown pass and stuff. And he came over, and we were hanging out, Josh Kerr, and we were hanging out. And he's really big guy, you know. He's 6'7" or something, really big football dude. And you know, we were talking about Bigfoot, how he was much bigger than Josh and stuff, and hit me like a truck and broke two of my ribs and kind of sent me about 10 feet in the air and stuff. And we were talking about it, so I've been just doing the super training. And then we've had a lot of activity about between two, what they call the witching hour, between 2 and 3 o'clock, which is super weird. And I've been going out there. Yeah, checking it out. And a couple of times I took my dog with me, and my dog was looking over at some stuff over there. I keep him on a leash and stuff at nighttime. I don't let him, you know, go or anything crazy. But
sure.
I went out couple of times without him. I left the, took the dog back in and went back out myself, and I left the flashlight on purpose and everything. And the moon's been big, and I think it was the one that broke my rib, and some of his family were outside there. We've been eyeballing them, and I think they're around during the daytime too now. It's kind of really,
wow.
really interesting. Yeah, I know. And we had some interactions. Like we had some, I left some ducks outside because I was just listening to some of those guys talking on the show before in the past about how they eat animals and all that weird stuff. And
it's not weird stuff.
Yeah.
It's what they do. It's not what you do.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, well, it just seemed weird to us, but, you know, we were testing it. We left some ducks out, and I had seen something crossing over there that was really large, man, and never tried to hurt the ducks or nothing, and then went right for the treats that I left out there, went right for the treats, and then I seen it walking much slower after the treats about an hour later, like in real relaxed mode, like really enjoying himself, and he
mm-hmm.
felt really good about those treats, too. He was like, man, I think they're addicted to my treats. Seriously.
Well, sure
you know,
they are.
And I think that, heck yeah, man, I got the best treats around. People call from everywhere, different directions, actually. So, you know, I think if humans love what I got, I think Bigfoot really loves it. And,
absolutely.
I'm excited, man. When are you guys coming? What's going down? When are you coming to Michigan again?
We'll be getting up that direction, hopefully here within a month or so. I'm going to need some time off after being out for so long. I got to take care of some things at home, but then I'm going to be coming up north. I'll let you know. I got your number,
all
brother. Okay.
It slowed way down, and I didn't see anything, and now it's pretty active, you know, and I was sitting there thinking about you when I was like, wow, that's just so, you know, the differences of the weather changing has made a huge difference of where I live at. You know, and just in case you're wondering, you know, the Manistee Forest area is really intense, and we've seen coy wolves, coyotes, mountain lions, and bears, and a couple baby bears, and now all of a sudden we've had Bigfoot encounters again. So that's pretty
exciting. And with that,
yeah, I know,
I
pretty excited.
We're at the end of the show, my friend. I want to thank you, and Marco Bill's been beeping in my ear, so I got to let you go. We can get back next week and talk more. Folks, once again, another Wednesday
all
night
right,
show with Big Live. And we've had people from all over this United States, Michigan, Texas, Arkansas, Indiana, Pennsylvania, because we like to talk Bigfoot. Hey, see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're pulling together.